We open our Bibles this morning in the book of Proverbs. And in the book of Proverbs, we turn to the chapter 3. Last Lord's Day morning, we were considering and looking at the opening verses here, verses 5 and 6 of this third chapter of the book of Proverbs. And we said we'll come back to our meditation upon it and seek to see what the Spirit of God is saying to our hearts in seeking to know the guidance of God and to walk in accordance to the will of God for our lives. In the third chapter of the book of Proverbs, it says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not compared unto her." We end our reading there, and we pray that God will bless this word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. We were noticing in the verses 5 and 6 the conditions that were laid out for us to know and to find understanding, to find and have the guidance of God that we might walk in accordance to his will. In verse 5 it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and hear the words, and he shall direct thy path." Here's the promise. Here's the certainty that God says, he shall direct thy path. Now, of course, quite often in the Scriptures we find that promises are conditional. That when God lays down promises like this, he lays the conditions before us that we might know, that we might walk carefully to be able to attain and obtain that which God has so readily and willing to give to us. It says, he shall direct thy path. But friend, those words don't separate from the rest of the verses, because we see the ingredients that are the pathway to success. It says here, trust, first of all, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's the first thing. And then the second thing, it says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Firstly, there's something you must do, and then there's something you must not do. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's what God wants you to do. And then there's something he does not want you to do. He says, lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. That's the third thing. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Friends, you cannot have the last part to the latter part of the promise and take hold of that without walking in obedience to the instruction which God gives. And I want us to understand what the Spirit of God is saying here in these words, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The word trust, believe it or not, literally means to lean upon.
You notice what it says in the next statement, lean not upon thine own understanding. Here's a leaning which you're not to do, but the first thing it says, you are to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You are to lean upon the Lord with all thine heart. And the idea that is here, it's this, that's behind that thought, is this. When a person is conscious of their own feebleness, then they turn and they rest upon a stronger one. Someone in whom you can lean upon, someone in whom you can trust. And you lean upon them, that stronger one, for support. In other words, it is an absolute confidence in the Lord. First of all, acknowledging your own feebleness, your weakness, your nothingness. And then you realize that here I am, and I'm nothing. And I have no strength of my own, but here's the Lord, and I can trust in Him. I can lean upon Him. I can have absolute confidence in the Lord, and He shall direct my path. Turn your Bibles back to the book of Exodus chapter 3. Let's just see something here. The story is the story of Moses. And when you turn to Exodus chapter 3, it tells us that Moses kept the flock of Jethro's father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And then it says in verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh thither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Go down to verse 10. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Verse 14, And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto thee. And when we look at those verses there, we see that Moses was called of God for a task. You see, long before this burning bush experience, God called Moses, and God's call to Moses had come. But the timing of the call and the time when Moses was to go was not yet come. God had set Moses apart for a task. But he was having to wait for some 40 years because he was 40 years before God actually said here in verse number 10, Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Let me explain to you just exactly what happened in the life of Moses. There was nothing happened by chance. God had promised and God had specified in the promise which he made to Moses that he was to go to Pharaoh, that he was to move at God's will. God saw the affliction of his people. But God knew the exact time that Moses was to go. God knew just exactly how many years that the children of Israel would wander in the wilderness because of their sin of disobedience. And God knew when the exact time when Moses was to go before Pharaoh and he was to lead the children of Israel and he was to lead them and was to guide them and give them the guidance of God. And God's commandment here in verse number 10, Come now therefore, was accompanied by a promise, verse number 12, Certainly I will be with thee,
And this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Notice it says, ye shall serve God on this mountain when? When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. God gives a promise, and with the promise, he gives an encouragement. He says, bring them and bring them out. And God says, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. With God, there is always a time. But man has to be conscious of his nothingness. Moses was conscious here of his nothingness, his feebleness. He says, who am I? Who am I to do it, Lord? Verse number 11. Who am I? He was not relying upon his own strength to take this leadership of the children of Israel. He was not relying upon self. He was acknowledging that he was nothing. There was a time in Moses' life, let me tell you, he was saying, listen, look who I am. Do you remember whenever Moses was, one day he saw the Egyptian and the Hebrew fighting together? Do you remember that Moses thought, and he was brought up in Pharaoh's palace and Pharaoh's daughter? And whenever he saw the Egyptian fighting with the Hebrew, there arose up in his heart a desire to deliver the children of Israel, the Hebrews, out of bondage. And of himself, he slew the Egyptian. He was saying, look, here I am, and look who I am. But it wasn't God's way. It wasn't God's way. It wasn't God's time. And here we find that 40 years later, God brings him to the point where he asks the question, not look who I am. He says, who am I? He was acknowledging his nothingness, his unworthiness. And brethren and sisters, this morning, it's not until you and I realize that we are nothing of ourselves that God can take us up and God can use us. We need to realize that we're nothing of ourselves. Who am I that a king should bleed and die for the hem's head? Who am I? Acknowledging our feebleness, our weakness, our nothingness. I was thinking of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 9 he says this, for I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. He said, listen, I am a nobody. I'm not worthy to be in the position that God has given to me. I am the least of them. And yet, my friend, under God, he wrote the mighty epistles that, as he was breathed by the Spirit of God. And given to us a wonderful word from God himself. But he was conscious he was nothing. He says, I am the least of the apostles. I was thinking of Jeremiah chapter 1 when God called Jeremiah. What did Jeremiah say in answer to God's call? He said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak for I am a child. God, I'm not able to face the task. I'm not able to do anything because I'm only like a child. God says, let me tell you this, you're my child, that's why I've called you. Friend, this morning we need to realize and we need to be conscious that our own feebleness, and we need to turn and we need to rest in Him, trust in the Lord. Are you conscious this morning, even as you do your work for God, are you conscious of your feebleness and are you resting in the Lord alone and looking to Him for guidance? Are you trusting in somebody's programs or somebody's plans or somebody's philosophy? Let me tell you, my friend, don't trust in those things. Trust in the Lord. Get your eyes upon Him. Count on the Lord for every situation as well as every emergency. Look to Him. You know what God says? My God shall supply all your need. Ever think of the words of the Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You're not going to lack anything when you look to the Lord, friend. When the Lord's your shepherd, you don't lack anything for the journey. God has promised to meet your every need. But you've got to draw your strength hour by hour from Him. And get your sufficiency from the Lord. Now notice what it says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. This is not a half-hearted thing. Friend, you've got to see that you're not able to do anything of yourself, but you need the Lord. You've got to depend on Him. I can't live myself for the Lord this week. I need the Lord's strength. I need the Lord's power. And you know what happens in the Christian life, friend? We have just to continue the way we began. I was saved the night I trusted Christ as my Savior. Friend, let me tell you, as I walk the Christian journey, I'm just trusting Him day by day. That He'll keep His hand upon me. That He will provide all my need. I trust in Him with all my heart. You know what that means? It means abandoning. Abandoning everything else. You give God your undivided confidence. You're not looking to anybody else. You're not turning to anyone else. You're trusting Him with all your heart. Just with a child's simplicity. You know, a child, whenever a father speaks to the child or promises a child, that little one believes and takes the word of the father and takes the word of mommy just at face value. You know why? Because that little one believes that mom and dad loves them enough to keep their promise and to fulfill the promise that they make. Friend, that's what you've got to do. You've got to trust the Lord with just simplicity of heart. Simplicity of heart. You know, people try to make this complicated. Some people try to make it complicated, this trusting the Lord and to rely upon Him for everything. You know, friends, it's not complicated. We're to abandon everything and depend upon Him and expect from Him with all our hearts. Is that what you're doing? Is that the one you're relying upon today to bring you through? Whatever this week holds, are you trusting the Lord with all your heart? And then it says this, it says, lean not upon thine own understanding. Well, friend, let me just say this to you. That simply means this. We're not to trust ourselves. We're not to trust ourselves. We're not to trust our own wisdom. We're not to rely upon the dictates of our own reasoning. The greatest act of human reason is to disown our own sufficiency and to bow before the sufficiency and the wisdom of God. Look at the verse number 7 of Proverbs chapter 3. Just look at those words there just for a moment. Proverbs 3, verse number 7, it says this, be not wise in thine own eyes. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You're not to trust your own wisdom. Maybe you think of it all sorted out, friend. Maybe you think of it all figured out. You haven't looked to the Lord for His guidance. You haven't looked to the Lord for His help. But really, just in your own thinking and your own wisdom, you have it all figured out. You have it all planned out. The Word of God says in Proverbs 14, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. And by human reasoning, friend, it may seem right. And yet it says the end thereof is the way of death. We need God's wisdom. We are to lean not upon our own understanding. Now that doesn't mean we're not to have understanding. Because we are. But we're to not to lean upon our own understanding. We need understanding. We need the wisdom and the help of God. Turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Let's just read some verses here. My son, here's a father speaking to his son. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandment with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Are you sincere about this, friend? Do you want God's guidance? Do you prize it more than silver? Are you searching it for more than just like hidden treasure? Verse 5, it says, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous." Isn't God good? God layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Friend, here we find in God's word that you and I can get God's knowledge and understanding. We're not to lean on our own. Because like the old phrase, to lean on your own understanding is like a man leaning upon a broken stick. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You say to me, does that mean that I'll understand everything? Will God give me understanding in everything? Then let me tell you this. Some of the dealings of God, even with us people, are past finding out. I don't believe that you and I need to understand all the mysteries of providence. For I do not believe that we can plumb the depths of the workings of providence. But I pray as God I see it and I witness it and I know it. In the book of Romans chapter 11 it says these words. Romans chapter 11. It says in verse 33, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." There are some of the mysteries of providence, friend, that you and I cannot understand. I suppose one of the greatest questions that wrecks many a mind is the little word why. We're always wanting to understand just the workings of God and what is God doing? Why is God working this way? And yet, friend, even in the simple things of washing the feet of his disciples, you know what the Lord said? He said, "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." There are things that you and I just need to leave with God. I'll tell you, if God knew that it was for your good and mine to reveal, then God would do it. There are things that God will reveal to us, for I believe that God will direct our path. I believe that God will reveal his will. I believe that God will give guidance to his people. He has promised to do that. But that does not mean that we'll understand everything. But thou shalt know hereafter. And so the first thing is this, trust in the Lord. Just absolutely lean on him. Do it with all your heart, brother. Do it with all your heart, sister. You can have absolute confidence in him. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't try to find the path of reason as far as man is concerned in the human mind to understand all the workings of God and the workings of providence. But then it says, number three, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. What is it saying here? In all thy ways acknowledge him. I believe that we're to acknowledge his sovereignty. The sovereignty of God, friend, in every avenue of our lives. That God is Lord of all. He is to be Lord in your business life. He is to be Lord in your social life. He is to be Lord in your recreational life. He is to be Lord in your worship life. He is to be Lord in your family life. You are to acknowledge the sovereignty of God in every aspect of your life. In other words, friend, there's to be no part of your heart that is to be shut to God. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him and acknowledge His right in your life. Acknowledge His majesty and His sovereignty in your life. We sang the hymn this morning together. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. And then we sang these words, I surrender all. Stephen Alford said, in prayer before God one day, in brokenness of heart, it wasn't a long prayer, but this is what he said. He's God, anywhere, anytime, at any cost. Amen. Friend, that's total surrender. That's total surrender. That's not just singing the words. That's not just trying to have the phrases put in the proper place. My friend, that is not trying to impress somebody else around you. When you say to God, oh God, anywhere, at any time, at any cost. Amen. The young man was writing to his girlfriend one day, trying to impress her how much he loved her. And he wrote to her and he said to her, he says, darling, for you, I love you so much I'd climb the highest mountain. Darling, for you, I love you so much I would swim the widest ocean. Darling, for you, I'd enter the deepest valley. P.S. And if it's not raining tomorrow, I'll call over. Let me tell you, friend, it's not cheap to say to God, anywhere, anytime, any cost. Amen. Don't be afraid this morning of God's will. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Listen, lay your life out before Him. Put your life upon the altar. What does it say? I beseech you by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what we're talking about. It's putting your all upon the Lord on the altar for God and saying, God, here am I. It's not, here am I, send somebody else. Isaiah said, here am I, God, send me. Oh God, I'm available. There are so many of God's people, let me tell you, my friend. And from one week to the other, they do absolutely little or nothing for God. And the fields are white and they're ready to harvest, but the laborers are few. You say to me, but I'm afraid to do that this morning. I'm afraid to put my life on the altar because I'm afraid of what it will mean, what God will ask of me. Let me, friend, before God, don't be afraid to do God's will. What does the psalmist say? I delight to do thy will, O God. What did the Lord Jesus say in John 4? He said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. Acknowledge. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Why? Because He is sovereign. Psalm 135, verse 6, it says these words. Whosoever the Lord pleased, or whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightning for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of His treasuries. Isn't it amazing? Whatsoever the Lord pleased. What's that, friend? God's sovereignty. Psalm 115. In verse number 3, it says this, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." I told you about the young pastor over in Puerto Rico. And friend, as he struggled with his dear wife because they were facing so many hardships and heartaches, even in the work of God, they struggled together. And then she went in for an examination, a young girl, young woman, with little children. And she struggled as she was going for an examination, medical examination, when she finally got it. She was diagnosed with cancer. They were reading the scriptures together, and as they read the scriptures together, they came on that verse, in verse number 3. "Our God is in the heavens, He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." And you know, as they sat together there, that young man and young woman with their little children, and she was dying of cancer, "God hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." And they bowed before God and they thanked God for His will. Would you do that this morning? When God does whatsoever He pleases, friend, are you willing to bow before Him and say, "I delight to do Thy will, O God"? You see, my friends, our hearts need to be broken. How can we ever come to this place of leaning not on our own understanding and all our ways acknowledging Him? Listen, when we trust in Him with all our hearts, He's a sovereign God on whom you can depend. Not only when health is given to us, but even when sickness comes or heartaches come or heartbreak comes, He is still sovereign. We need to acknowledge that. "In all thy ways, acknowledge Him." Ask permission of God, friend, for all that you do. Ask permission of Him. You know what some people are caught up with? What do people think? What do people think? What will people say? Let me ask you this, my friend. Are you more concerned about what people will think than what God wants you to do? God wants to lead you. God wants to guide you. Don't move or don't act without His lead. Do you remember what Saul said? Saul said these words. He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Lord, what do you want? What do you want? I look across this congregation this morning. And as I look across this congregation this morning, I ask this of you. Are you asking God, are you willing to let God have His way this week? Are you willing to lay your life out before Him and say, "Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do this week?" Couple weeks ago in the prayer meeting, we turned to 2 Samuel chapter 5. Or chapter 5. Let's just open there for a moment, please. 2 Samuel chapter 5. There is not a decision too big, friend. There is not a situation too small, but God's interested in your life through and through. 2 Samuel chapter 5, you look at verse number 17. "And when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came to seek David. And David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim." It was verse 19. What did David do, friend? "And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, Go up. For I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." David did it. He inquired of God, friend. Do you know what he was doing? Listen, here's David the king. And do you know what he was doing? He was acknowledging the sovereignty of God. God, you're the King of Kings. You're sovereign.
I want to do your will. I want to walk in your path in all my ways. Acknowledge him. That's what David was doing.
Then go on down the chapter. Go to verse 22. God gave him tremendous victory, friend. God stepped in. But it says in verse 22, and the Philistines came up yet again, spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, in other words, he asked God again, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And the Lord said, thou shalt not go up. But fetch a compass behind them. Come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going on the top of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. And then shall the Lord go out before thee and smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so, as the Lord had commanded him. Friend, he acknowledged God in everything. He acknowledged God. Just because he had the victory, he said, Lord, do you want me to go up against the Philistines? And God says, yes, I want you to go. I want you to go up. I want you to face them. And the Philistines come up again against them. My, it's natural. I'll go out again. No, friend, it's not natural. Yes, natural it would be. Spiritual it would not be. He got to ask of God. He didn't take God for granted. He asked of God. And God says, listen, go not up. But I want you to go around. You see, the enemy would have been expecting it, friend, but praise God. God was directing his path. Let me say something. Time's away this morning. We ought to seek God's guidance in everything. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And anything upon which I cannot ask God's blessing. Listen to me. As I close this morning, I want you to remember this. Anything upon which I cannot ask God's blessing is wrong. Is wrong. You get that in your heart and God raises in mind. Anything I cannot ask God's blessing upon is wrong and I shouldn't do it and I shouldn't go there. In reality, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Do you know what that really is? It's like a person signing a blank check and saying, God, you fill it in. You fill it in. I'm not holding out on you, Lord. I'm not holding out on you. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. You say, preacher, that's a big thing you're asking. Friend, it's not. I'm asking nothing. You and I owe everything to God. Let us lay are all upon the altar for God. And next Lord's Day we'll look at these words. He shall direct thy path. Let's pray. Go through with God thy vows to pay, thy life upon the altar lay.
The Holy Ghost, He'll do the rest, and He'll give to thee God's very best. The price is high, severe the test, for those who will enjoy God's best. Surrender all and take the road with those who will go through with God. O God, we bow before Thee. And as we bow in Thy holy and Thy sacred presence, we pray that Thou wilt just hear the cry of every one of Your children. We pray that our God, that this day that we might go through with Thee, we might not only have sung the words, but that we might mean it with all our hearts, I surrender all. May our wills be surrendered to Thine. May, Lord, our businesses be surrendered to Thee. May our plans be surrendered to Thee. May our finances be surrendered to Thee. But even this day, that we see the work of God go forward to the glory of Thy name. Do all to the glory of God. And for those who are not saved, they still know Thee not. Their lives are still held in their own hands and in the hands of Satan. O God, I pray in Jesus' name that Thou will give them grace to run to Christ, to trust in the Lord for an eternal salvation. We pray in Jesus' name.